In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The talk yesterday was amazing, and it really lifted us up to the highest of God and to His holy place, and it gave us some new way or a different way how we see God in His holiness. Because a lot of times we describe God in many ways, but this is who He really is. And this is something absolute and no changes. You know, nothing can change God's holiness. And as a matter of fact, that makes us a little bit confused sometimes, or feels too low to get closer to Him. Or think of, you know, holiness and being close to God as something impossible. You know, how are we going to get close to Him? They say that the holiness of God and the purity of God sees the angels as not holy and impure before Him. The angels are impure before Him and before His face and before His holiness, because there is no one in heaven or on earth is like Him. So how can we approach Him? How can we be close to Him? How can we actually live with Him in heaven if this is the case? Okay? So if Uzzah just touched, you know, a box, you know, that wasn't God. It represented God and had God's glory. When he touched it, when he was not supposed to, he died instantly. So, where is our place? And, you know, where are we regarding the holiness of God? Are we gone? You know, are we supposed to be holy like Him? Is there any way we're going to be holy like Him? And if we're not, how will He accept us in His kingdom, or how will He accept us to Him? As you know, that God's holiness is absolute and has no exceptions. Meaning, oh, I know that human beings, they're, you know, they have a fallen nature and they have corrupted nature. That's fine. Let them sin. That's no problem with that. It's against the nature of God of holiness. God can never accept that. Even, and listen to this, even if His Son, Jesus Christ, took the sin on His body, and He, who is without sin, became sin for us. You know what the book of Isaiah said about that? See this verse? Oops. You know, Isaiah 53 talks about the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the verses you might pass, you know, this verse, that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son and to kill Him and to consume Him on the cross. Why? Because He became sin. And therefore, He needs to be totally consumed the same way the burnt offerings were consumed. Okay? So, that's a little bit scary. Is there any hope? You know, we're sinful people, and no matter how much we will go, and no matter how much we will grow, we will never get even closer to this. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, this problem is not, didn't come today. It came from the Old Testament. All the prophets knew about it. God Himself knew about it. And He knew that there is no way that Adam and Eve will come again and live with God without being holy. That's why He cast them out. And He said, there is no place for you. And He knew that the nature of man is going towards sin. And He knew, no matter how much humanity and human beings will try to grow in holiness, you know, And actually, this is something that I want you to know. It doesn't matter how much we grow in holiness. If we fast and pray and commit no sin whatsoever, we will go 1 inch in 1,000 miles of God's holiness. Just 1 inch in holiness. It will come later on to tell you that holiness of human beings is a myth and it does not exist. God knew that. And He knew that there is nothing we can do. So He decided to make the bridge between heaven and earth between sinful nature and sinful people like us and His holiness. So He was incarnate. He became man and He built a bridge. And that bridge is His cross. And through His cross and through His blood, people will be sanctified. People will be cleansed. People will be covered by the blood of Christ and by the holiness of Christ. And when we abide in Him and we have Him in us, then we have His holiness in us. But that has to be in one condition, that we and Christ are one. We have the same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. We have the same blood, which is the blood of Christ. We have the same thoughts. We have the thoughts of Christ, as St. Paul said. We have His words. We have everything. We are abiding in Him. We are united with Him. And through Him and through His blood, God the Father will see us holy and pure, exactly like His Son. And that way, and this is the only way, we will be acceptable to Him. And we can stand before Him, not with our righteousness, not with anything we can do, but only through the blood of Christ. This is the only holy thing that can be accepted before God the Father. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, spoke about that, you know, and spoke about the people who are going to heaven. And it says, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulations, from the sin, from every bad thing, from dirt, and washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Made their clothes white in the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of Christ. That's the bridge between sinfulness and human beings and before the holiness of God and being there with God, or even having any relationship with God. As you know, in the Old Testament people, even they didn't have a relationship with God. How can someone who is very impure, very sinful, very fleshly, would have any relationship with the Father without being on a level where we can even discuss things? So we had to receive that. Without the blood of Christ, we cannot even speak to the Father. We can't call Him Father. We can't approach Him. It's very important that we know that, because I don't want you ever to think that you will become a holy man or a holy woman because who you are or because what you are doing. It's only because of one thing. Anyone who's called a holy man in this world is because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of that bridge. Remember the example that Rabbuna gave us yesterday about Isaiah. Okay. Isaiah was not able to approach God's holiness until the angel came and he brought a coal from the altar and put it on his tongue and said, take, eat this. It will make you holy enough to stand in this place. This is the best and the greatest example ever about the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other explanation whatsoever. The place of the coal is not on the altar. It's usually in the censer, right? Coal is in the censer, not in the altar. But this coal that has divinity and humanity, fire and coal at the same time, it's the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is taken from the altar and given to the mouth of Isaiah in order to be purified and cleansed and able to stand there and to belong there. That was the condition. Buna said, did he belong there? He did not belong there. But God wanted him to be there. What can we do? Give him this call. And anybody who doesn't believe in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, let him explain this verse and tell what kind of call is this. Bottom line, human holiness is a myth. It does not exist, no matter where it is. But humans are united with God and being one with God. We know that. We've seen that. We didn't do it. Christ came and did it for us. And he started this. You know, it said that he became God, the All Holy One, became man. That he may make man like God. So are we saints or sinners? Are we saints or sinners? Because we usually go between the two extremes. I am saint or I'm a sinner. You know, I go to Holy Week, attend everything, you know, and focus on the readings and the prayers and everything, and, you know, try to do a good job, and, you know, very, very, very wonderful week. I go out of the week and I feel that there is, you know, a halo over my head, you know, and I'm a saint. I eat the meat and I sleep a little bit. I feel that I'm a pig. You know, what is the balance? What is the balance between the two of them? The balance is called the grace. Grace makes the balance. You know, when you read the epistles of St. Paul, of course, St. Paul is the one who spoke about grace most. He's the one who said about himself, he's chief of sinners. At the same time, you know, he spoke about, you know, him being one with Christ, and I am who I am by the grace of God. And that balance is so important. And there is no way we can attain God's holiness and have it and enjoy it and see it without having grace. There is one thing. If we have it, we will never ever see God's holiness in our life, which is pride. Humility is a must virtue that the holiness of God abides in us and is manifested in our lives. That I know who I am. I am a sinner and I'm fallen nature, and I know that very well. The problem is that we usually compare ourselves to other people. You know, I'm a little better than this. I'm much better than that. You know, this and that. Does it really matter? Is there any human holiness? Is there any human holiness? It doesn't really matter. You know, how different we are. Who's better than who? Because me and the worst sinner, both of us, we need the grace of God. And we need the holiness of God. And we need to abide in Christ in order to be the same and to be holy. It doesn't really matter. So if I don't understand that, then it means that I give credit to myself and I believe in human holiness. This person is a little bit better than that person, and then that's it. That's it. If this is the case, it's either I or God exists. Who would live inside of me? It's either I or God. And most probably, the I is the thing that can, you know, take God's holiness away. As I said, that's why we enjoy a wonderful Holy Week. And afterwards, we fall into gluttonous and even sexual temptations and all of this. Why? Because I felt that I did something and I became, and I, not knowing, it's just the God's existence in me. And once he leaves, and he can leave in a second. That's amazing how God's grace, you know, it's a gift. It's given and it could be taken in a second. just a fraction of a second, and I would lose it. So our ego, selfishness, self-centeredness, take over from God being all in all. Holiness is God's ownership. Anything that belongs to God in His position is something holy. When the I and the ego and the self gets in the way, God disappears and there is no place for Him. Okay, so we have to understand the meaning of humility and the importance of humility first in order to be saints. No one will ever experience the holiness of God without humility and the principle of grace first. Nobody will understand the principle of grace and makes the balance who I am and who God is. We'll never attain that. We'll never get there. Will always focus on himself and go in circles instead of going up. Okay, so now it all depends on God and the blood of Christ. Then I shouldn't do anything. Should sit there, and if I take communion and I take the blood of Christ, I'm cleansed, I'm holy, I'm saint. That's it. It's done. Well, it's not quite there. There are three aspects of holiness as we experience it. Three aspects. The first aspect, which we just explained, it's called the positional. Or the positional holiness. Positional because of our position in Christ. This is the first step. This is the 101 holiness for anyone, you know, to go in the path of holiness and the path of a spiritual life. Is without the blood of Christ, we cannot even be candidates for the grace of God. And we have to understand that. This is the basics. But that's not it. That has the forgiveness of sins. That's got the preparation for us. The preparation for us to receive God's holiness. But that's not the only aspect. And that's not the only step. The second aspect of holiness is the sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification must come after the positional holiness. And after knowing that we will only be there and can attain anything through the holiness of God and through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification happens throughout all of our life. Sanctification comes from the Holy Spirit. If we will become holy, and my body will be holy, and my thoughts, and everything will be cleansed, how will the blood of Christ affect every part of my life, and every, my eyes, and my brain, and my this, and my that? How is it going to sanctify everything? That's the process of sanctification that the Holy Spirit does within us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us all of our lives. And there are steps actually for the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, and I would like you to know that and to keep it because, and actually to know where you are in these steps. Steps of sanctification. First of all, without the Holy Spirit, man drinks the sin like water. People without God, without the Holy Spirit, can do all the sins of the world without even feeling guilty. Without, you know, no sense, no conscience whatsoever, no sense of right or wrong or guilt or anything. And then the Holy Spirit starts. People start to know God. How does the Holy Spirit start working in us? First step the Holy Spirit does is puts the commandment in front of us. Puts the commandment. Someone comes to church for the very first time, or just started to get to know God and coming to church. What attracts him right away and what attracts his attention is the word of God, the commandment that you shouldn't do that, that you shouldn't kill, and you shouldn't steal, and you shouldn't live like animals, and you should live for God and not for yourself. These commandments, the Holy Spirit puts it in front of the person and it starts to work. Where I am from the commandments of God. Because this is how I know where I am. Where I am from the commandments. So the Holy Spirit put the commandment, the Word of God, before us in order to rebuke the sin in us. Sin is all over there. And then the Word of God comes and starts fight with the sin. That's the first step. Second step, if the person accepts the work of the Holy Spirit and continue to go on cleansing himself and working on himself and even rebuking himself, allowing the Holy Spirit to work more and more and more within him, then the Holy Spirit increased the fire, the heat. You know, it's very important to understand these tips. It's very, 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 very important. That's how the Holy Spirit works. This is the commandment. You respond to it, you know, he inflames the fire more. Inflames the fire more. You feel, wow, there is a lot of ashes, a lot of things that, you know, it needs to be burned. When the Holy Spirit, when you accept that work, and the fire goes very wild, the person feels that he's dirt, he's trash. Believe it or not, usually the person when starts coming to church doesn't feel bad right away. No. And that's the grace of God actually. That's a blessing from God. If he feels too bad, he's not going to stay. He's going to leave and never come back. Comes and then, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit, he's rebuked, you know, then he invites the Holy Spirit more, the fire goes on. He felt that he's trash. He's a piece of garbage. Usually when we see it, Abuna, when I start coming to church and when I start, you know, taking communion and confessing, attends just one liturgy, attends, stands just for prayer once, comes with 100 list of things. I'm all bad. I'm total black in and out and I'm garbage. I'm a garbage can. At that point, the Holy Spirit did not sanctify the person completely, but sanctified his conscience, his mind. You know, that this is right, this is wrong. He may continue to do what's wrong, because still he's under flesh, and there is a lot of bad things, there is a lot of temptations, but the Holy Spirit already worked in the mind and in the conscience. You know, sanctified that already. So the mind and the conscience cannot accept that. You know, I'm smoking. I know it's bad. It's wrong. I can't. You know, I know it's wrong. I know that the physical temptations are bad, but, you know, I can't. My mind, that's what St. Paul spoke in Romans 6, 7, and 8. It's killing me. I know that this is wrong. You know, and I'm still doing it. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't stop from blessing and from sanctifying the person. He waits on him. And he continues to feed him with the Word of God that rebukes, that cleanses, with the commandment. And if he continue to accept the work of the Holy Spirit starts work on his flesh as much as his mind and his conscience. First, he sanctified the conscience. This is wrong. This is bad. I don't want to do it. If he continues to accept that, you know, and please understand this, because a lot of people don't. The worst thing you can ever do in your life, you do what's wrong and say it's right. When you do that, forget it. The Holy Spirit stopped right there. Even if I do what's, you know, I do the wrong thing, but my conscience is clean and know that this is bad. That's why for a lot of people I tell them, when you do the sin, don't stay right there. No, stand up and pray and do matanias and do everything. Keep your conscience and your mind still sanctified and blessed and pure. Yeah, I know that your body is not, and I know that your actions are not, but keep your mind and your conscience still pure, because this is the first step where the Holy Spirit works within you, But the worst thing ever, when you do what's wrong and say, there's no problem, nothing wrong with this. No, this is bad. Then the Holy Spirit stops right there. And that happens a lot with us. Especially, we're servants. We're growing in God's knowledge. And I know what's right. If I do what's wrong, that's fine. We're human beings. But don't pollute and cast the Holy Spirit away from your conscience and your mind, because He's working right there and He sanctified the place. You know, you do what's wrong, go and do whatever you want to do afterwards and beat yourself. But you have to know that God is still within you and your conscience and your mind. Okay? When we're honest and faithful and we're crying to God, as St. Paul said, then the Holy Spirit starts to cleanse even the body, even the actions. So I do what's right. Not only I think and I know what's right, but I start to do what's right. And I start to do it little by little. What happens after that? When I start to do righteous things and godly things? Huh? I will find a fork. Is it me who's doing that? Or it's God who's in me who's doing that? If I take the left turn and say, oh, I became a better person, they're going to fall right there. Because you did not admit that it's the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of God. And God has to take you back to step one in order to know how sinful, how bad you are, and to learn humility and grace. And you go forward. But when you do all righteousness, say that we are unprofitable servants. That's the trick to pass this step. That's a verse. I don't have it right there. But you all memorize it. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to that. When you do all righteousness, you do all holy and wonderful and godly things around. See, you all say that we are unprofitable servants. We've done, you know, what we are ordered or what we're supposed to do. What keeps us from going and growing in the life of sanctification is the ego, the selfishness, the pride, and all of this. So once, you know, I pass this, and when I do all righteousness, I say that I'm unprofitable servant from the depth of my heart, knowing that, knowing my weakness, knowing who I am, I can go forward. Am I there yet? Am I there in a holy life yet? Of course, there's temptations. There's a lot of things that can take me back. But every time you renounce sin, you renounce the devil, the Holy Spirit is inflamed within you to sanctify you, to bless you more, to keep you, and to keep adding sanctification to your mind, your conscience, and your actions too. Every time you renounce sin, every time you say, this is bad, this is unacceptable, I'm not going to do that. Every time you say, ma'alish, it's okay, you know, I'm weak, I hear the worst excuses ever. And that's bad. I know that we're humans and God knows that. And He knows that we will sin and we're vulnerable to sin. But don't legalize sin. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit will never, ever, 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 ever work within you. If you don't want to fast Wednesdays and Fridays, okay, ask for mercy. Tell Him, Lord, you know what? This is so bad. I know that I'm not doing that, okay, and I know that I should do it, and please forgive me for doing that, but don't make it, oh, who can do that, and this is unrealistic, and this is that, and this is this, and the fast of the apostles, who put it, and the church, and the canons of the church, and I don't know anything about the church or the history, and I keep saying that. No, can do it, strive and pray hard. Duma tani is an offer repentance. But don't say, you know, ma'alish, or it's okay. That's bad because it stops the Holy Spirit from sanctifying your mind. Once your mind is not sanctified and corrupted, very hard for the Holy Spirit to work within us. Takes a lot. For the sinners, it's much easier because he knows that his conscience and his mind is corrupted. But for me, if I know that I'm okay person and my conscience is corrupted, it's not good. Ultimately, when God is the owner and the master of my life, and everything good is coming from Him, and everything I wanted to be good, I put it in His position. When He's in control, when we are free from any slavery of anything, then we can reach the total oneness with God. And we can definitely say that we are saints because Christ is in us. Because He's completely in my mind and in my heart and in my actions. Okay? So these are the steps of sanctification. Is this road going to be easy? No. This verse in Philippians, St. Paul tells us, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Never, ever, ever, when God sanctifies you, think that you're there. That you, khalas, you know, it's okay. Temptations are not a problem. Never, ever, ever think of that. We are always tempted because we still have the fleshly body, no matter where we are. Okay? And keep your guards. And keep the grace of God that He's given you. Keep it safe. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I love this fear and trembling. That's what St. Paul, you know, used to say. Even if I preached, you know, after I preached many, I myself don't become disqualified. Can I become disqualified after being the servant, the prophet of God? Yes, I can. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. It's normal for the Christian person to do good works because it's not us. It's God who's doing that in us. And if we don't do good works and righteous works, then our faith is not true. There is something wrong with our faith. And He says also, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'd like you to take this verse and memorize it. Let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Going this route with the fear of God. That's the only way we can be there. It's our job to continue struggling against our flesh that rejects holiness and that wants us to live as pigs and as animals. And it will take a lot of praying and fasting, and that's why we do what we're doing, to complete and to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, to continue in doing that. One thing I wanted to emphasize again in the whole aspect of sanctification. So we spoke about, you know, the bridge between God and us and holiness. And the first aspect, our positional holiness in Christ. And second, our sanctification. We're still in our sanctification. What's the most important thing you can do in this process? Sanctification. There is God's part and there is your part. What's the most important thing in your part? I told you the steps and how God works and God sends this and then I respond and then, okay, so there is God's part and my part. What's the most important thing in my part?
Repentance.
Repentance still shared thing between me and God. How did the sanctification happen? How did it start? What was the first step that God put before the sinner to rebuke him? The commandment, the Word of God. The Word of God is a main factor of sanctification in our lives. See, I told you a lot of steps because we don't have time. But in all these steps, God's voice for me and sanctification of the mind and the conscience comes through the Word of God. And if I ignore that, there is no sanctification in my life. The Word that rebukes me, that gives me life, that gives me the Holy Spirit, that makes the Holy Spirit work within me. When I ignore that, I'm done. There is a very, very, very nice verse in 1 Timothy that I really love. You know, spoke about do everything with thanksgiving. For it is, means everything, sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Do you know that? That everything is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer? How is the body and blood, how the bread and wine is transformed into body and blood? Isn't it through the Word of God and prayer? Everything we do through the Word of God. Why Holy Week is so special? Because it is the week when we read and hear most the Word of God. This is the sanctification. And I promise you, that this is God's work. The word, the word that I speak to you, they are a spirit and they are life, full of life. Tell me if you know any saint, anyone who reached there without the Word of God. Tell me if you know anyone who was there, you know, without reading, you know, the Word of God, being consistent in the Word of God. You know, Saint Abraham in the church, who used to read the Bible every 40 days. A missionary that I'm going to talk to you about tomorrow, George Mueller, he read the Bible 300 times in his life. When he started Christianity, he was like in his late 20s or early 30s. 300 times in his life. That's sanctification. That's the work of sanctification. What's going to sanctify you day after day? Cleanse you in and out. It is the Word of God. It sanctifies everything. You know, as Abuna said, you know, God reveals His holiness through places and through people. And how? Through the Word of God. When His Word is there, there is sanctification, there is blessing. Okay? So, in that step of sanctification, you might want to consider how you deal with the Word of God. How important is the quiet of time every day? The quiet time every day is your daily shower, where God cleanses you through His Word. That's the purpose of quiet time. You take a morning shower. This is the morning shower. We digest the Word of God. And it rebukes me. Every time you read, you feel something. God is telling you something. God is working on something within you. It doesn't only show us, and that's important, please listen to this, the Word of God, or when you do your quiet time, it doesn't only show you what's wrong within you, but it cleanses it. It works on your mind. There is something happened right there before even doing anything. that your conscience is cleansed and purified. Your mind is purified by the Word of God. Is cleansed by the Word of God. The Word of God is God's presence, whether in your mind or in your life or anywhere. Where God's Word is, that's God. That's where God exists, in His Word. So it's good. It does you a wonderful thing without even you seeing or noticing. Your conscience, your mind is already cleansed. And when we're away from the Word of God, there is no sanctification in our life. We become insensitive of sin and bad things. We become very deaf to the Word of God and to God's messages. A lot of people come to me and tell me what's going on in their life, and it's extremely, extremely, extremely clear to me that what's happening. And it's extremely clear to any person, you know, who's with God, that, you know, this is what God wants from your life. This is what God is doing in your life. But the person is so blind because the lack of the Word of God. And the more you speak with God and you hear God's Word regularly, you're tuned. And your frequency is God's frequency. And you're ready always to hear, whether in your morning quiet time, or in the sermon when you go to church, or when you open the radio, or when your friend speaks to you. You know, it's there. You can get it. But if you don't do that, if you're not consistent, then your channel is off. You know, the frequency does not accept the Word of God. But, as I said in sanctification, the most important part in sanctification is the Word of God. But this is sanctifying only the mind and the conscience. Is that clear, or is it very theoretical? Very theoretical? It's not practical? Do you understand what or you're sleeping or what? Because the easy? okay. Sure. You remember? Sanctifies the mind and the conscience, and then sanctifies what afterwards? Body and the actions. I have to keep watching how these things are becoming actions in my life. I have to strive for that. If God speaks to me in a quiet time, I should cherish these words. I should take it to heart. I should take it extremely seriously, because it's God's Word to me. Okay? Not only to sanctify the mind and, you know, and these good things and nice verse, but to live it, to strive to live it, that God's sanctification. When I do that, you know, He's going to help me. It's not me. He's going to help me. He's the one who's sanctifying the mind and the actions. But at least, you know, I start and I want, you know, to do that. Never, ever, ever, ever take a word from God that's sent to you on the right time. Never take it lightly. Otherwise, you're stopping the Holy Spirit from sanctifying you and from blessing you. Never, ever, ever take it lightly. Word of rebuking, word of encouragement, you know, even if He's pushing you to do something that, you know, take it seriously. Because this is God's voice, God's presence. Okay? Third aspect of holiness is glorification. When we are glorified in heaven as saints, and we're crowned, even though we struggled, even though we were not perfect, but it's the full marriage with God. It's exactly like, let me give you an analogy, is when you buy a house, okay? They call you the proud owner, and you don't even own 20% of this house. But legally, you do own it, okay? But every month, when you pay the mortgage, you practice owning the house in reality. Until you pay off completely, okay? That's what happens in heaven when we're legally and practically are crowned with God in holiness. Positional holiness, sanctification, and this glorification. That's the bridge between our sinfulness and God's holiness. Is there any question?
Basically, what you just explained in the sanctification process reminded me of a saint by the name of his dead to me called Saint John of the Cross, in which he describes that whole sanctification process as the darkness of the soul. Basically, he's showing in essence that when we first come to God, it's like a father who gives a child a candy bar, filled with candy, until he gets you hooked. And then he pulls that candy away, and then the seriousness comes about, in which you go through a period of suffering. So to speak, God does not actively give suffering, but he allows the suffering to come, because in the midst of, like a thorn in the flesh, like when the suffering is there, his grace is sufficient. So therefore, we have to come to the point that we can trust God beyond emotional feeling, to the point that even though it seems as though that God is not there with you, God is there with you, and you have to hold on to the end. And during that process, you know, the vices will transform itself into virtues, and that sanctification process continues.
Thank you, Mina. This is actually very, 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 very good and important point. Because a lot of times, God is really working in us, and God is sanctifying my mind and my conscience. But I give up too quickly. I'm one step from victory. I'm one step from God taking total control over my body and my actions, and I give up just one inch before I get there. Because I rely on emotions. Feel I'm bad, I feel I'm this, I feel I'm that. Well, God is really working in me right now as I speak. As I'm saying how bad I am, that's how much God is actually working in me and cleansing my conscience and my mind. You know, and sometimes I give up too early because I rely on emotions, as Mina said. You know, no, God is there. God is working. As long as I'm not accepting sin or being adopting or abiding in sin, or, you know, as long as I'm rejecting that and I'm holding on to God, even if he seems so far away, it's not true. I'm one inch away from victory if I just wait on God, because he wants to make sure that it's not me. When I give up on yourself, don't give up on God. He's going to do something in me. He must do something in me. Okay? Give up on yourself. I'm bad and I can't, but he can. And I'm very close to his work. Thank you, me.
But the Bible gives these illustrations, like God loves us, so he loves us so much that he crashes us upon a rock, or he prunes us, or he smashes the pot against, like a pot is smashing the pot, you know, to refresh us, to form us over.
Right.
He loves us in the midst of this, so this is what he's going to recreate.
Right.
This sense of holiness in our hearts.
Right.
In our very being.
Right. Anything else to add or to ask? Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.